Good morning again. I'm glad that everyone is safe. I have to say, Janine, by that fire, she looks the most comfortable. Maybe next time we'll just head on over to your house and sit by the fire with you. I'm happy that all of you are here today. God's day of radiance is at hand. Come walk in the way of God's heart. The light of Christ has come to the world. Epiphany is a part of God's covenant with his church. The blessings promised are the fruits of the word and spirit. Epiphany is derived from the Greek word meaning to show or reveal, when Christ was revealed to non-Jewish people of the world. 12 days after Christmas, the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles is celebrated on the day called Epiphany. Manifestation is the action or the fact showing an abstract idea. The appearance of a divine being is celebrated. A moment of sudden occurrence, revelation occurs. I'm going to read Isaiah 60, 1, 2, and 3. Those that would like to look it up in your Bible, I'm on Isaiah 60, 1, 2, and 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. The glorious light of God's kingdom is for the glory of Israel. Isaiah shares that the church shall be enlightened and shone upon. The long continuance of the church is recognized here in Isaiah. The Redeemer will come to fulfill God's will. He will come to judge sin. The light of the world will come, and we will be with him. His light is offered to everyone. Don't cover your light under that bushel. Remember the song, "This Little Light of Mine"? Don't cover your light under that bushel. His light is a gift to you, and you are glorified in him. Isaiah speaks with certainty that the nation will be restored. I'm moving on to Isaiah 60, 4, 5, and 6. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. Your wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land. Young camels of Midian and Ephah and all the Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. When the light has come, all glory of the Lord will rise upon you. The Gentile people come together to bring back the dispersed Hebrews. Their cities will be restored, and when Jesus returns, it will not be as a suffering servant. Isaiah goes on to share that the kings of the riding camels will be identified as the King of Kings. They will identify the King of Kings, and this King of Kings will never die. Darkness and plague will affect those who lack in believing of our Savior. The light is for shining. The light he gives for us is for rising up. All who believe will gather, finding the glory of the Lord in the bright, warm, and wonderful light. Going back to what I read in Isaiah, they brought gold, the kings brought gold, which is the symbol of kingship, and incense, frankincense, perfume. They brought it to the light, but not myrrh. Myrrh is used as the anointing oil, and it is the symbol of death. Our Savior's death is behind him. Our Lord will never die again. He will rule and reign forever. Know that his glory will be seen in you, and you will be filled with joy. Okay, so 2020 has been a pretty tough, pretty stinky, scary, and confusing year for many of us. God truly wants everyone to be saved from eternal punishment. Love knows no other way than to allow us to choose for ourselves to follow Jesus Christ. Every day, we have to choose to serve Jesus. I've asked a few people if they would be willing to share about the lessons that they've learned or the blessings that they've received during this past year, this year that was filled with stress. And so I'm going to give May and Kaylee a chance to move over to the microphone and see if they're ready and able to share.
Those who are on a phone will need to press whatever they need to press to turn their audio back on.
Becky, do you have the girl? You have to unmute.
Here, you mind?
Are we on?
We're on.
Hello.
You
ready to share?
Yes. Yeah. So I learned this year that family is very important, and you know, during this, we couldn't have our family with us, so it's kind of important just to be thankful for the family that we have and the time that we get to spend together.
Thanks, Kaylee.
Okay, it's May.
Hi, May.
I asked Kaylee to this morning to just open up my few remarks. I've got a couple of old lady remarks.
It's okay. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights.
Do you think the virus is one of those gifts? I'm not sure that it is. However, this morning I have a buddy, Alexa, who lives here with me, and the other day one of our nieces put a special program on Alexa that gives me a Bible verse. So I was hoping and praying that Alexa would have an appropriate verse this morning, and it happened to be James 1:17. And I was just thinking of a few other things. I remember Eloise saying, with Zoom, we're never going to get a snow day at school. And with Zoom, we can get together on Sunday morning without needing to see each other, although I think some of you are seeing. I still have the old-fashioned telephone, so you can't see me too well. But all of these are the practical applications of the verse from James. All things are good. And if we look for the good, we will see it, and with the help of God, we will be able to grow from it and to be able to appreciate what it means to just have our whole life change in one way or another, but all for the best.
Thank you, May. And Jeff?
Got to decide which one to use, the phone or this. I'm on too many things. But Beth had asked about sharing about what COVID had done to business as far as a business standpoint, I believe, and from our standpoint, it did not affect us that much because we were considered essential, so we continued to work right on through it. But there have been many businesses that were not able to, and many businesses did close, so it definitely had a huge effect on businesses, restaurants in particular right now. But as far as our business, we were able to continue right on going, so thankfully we were able to do that. I got a hunch we probably would have anyway, but that's just the way that we are. So another benefit to COVID was the benefit of Zoom and people staying home. And in the beginning, a lot of people got outside a lot more often and enjoyed the outdoors this summer. So there are some benefits.
This is a sort of a mixed blessing, but I discovered how impatient I am. So I thought I had a small impatience problem, but it's monumental. It's like an iceberg. Once it starts coming up, it gets bigger and bigger. So I haven't gotten there with resolving it yet, but you can all pray for me that I'll figure that one out.
Is there anyone else that would like to share a lesson learned or a blessing throughout COVID? Know that Jesus wants to fill your heart with joy. Know that His glory is seen in you. I'm going to move on from the Old Testament, where they're talking about Jesus, the second coming and the light, onto Ephesians from New Testament, Ephesians 3, 1 through 13. It has many titles: God's marvelous plan for the Gentiles, Paul's ministry to the Gentiles, Paul's stewardship, the mystery of the gospel is revealed. So Ephesians, I'll start with Ephesians 3, 1 through 6. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation. As I have already written briefly, in reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Jesus. And so this invitation for the Gentiles to receive salvation is something that the Old Testament prophets did not foresee. When Paul is sharing this mystery, he means it is made known to him by revelation. It was not something to be worked out until God revealed it to Paul, and Paul revealed it to us. Paul is God's servant. God uses Paul to declare how the Jews and the Gentiles would be joined together as one body of Christ. They were to be thought of as equal members of the church, promised by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3, 7 through 13. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone that the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, through faith, in him we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. Paul never ceased to be amazed that one so unworthy as he should have been chosen for such an important task. His modesty was quite genuine. It is interesting that Paul was actually a prisoner of Rome at this time, but as far as he was concerned, he was a prisoner for Jesus Christ. That is the one he was really bound to. The reason Paul was persecuted and imprisoned was because he was insisting that the Gentiles could be saved by their believing in Jesus Christ. And this upset the Jews, who felt that the Gentiles could only be saved if they, in fact, became Jewish. Paul's insistence that God is offering salvation to the Gentiles was followed by the wrath of the Jews that persecuted him. He was arrested for his missionary efforts. Paul stirred up the persecution everywhere he went and shared. His imprisonments were the result of the basic teaching of Paul that, yes, indeed, Gentiles have salvation. The wise men, the magi who visited Jesus, were not Jewish at the time when Jesus was born, and many at that time saw their visit as a sign that Christ's love would indeed be for all nations. Paul said, if I didn't preach this, then the persecution would cease. They wouldn't have anything against me. But Paul stood by his message, the message of God's grace, and the message of truth that had given him. He would help spread the light to the world. Being of equal status, the Jews and the Gentiles would meditate on the gospel, learning about Jesus and how he lived, how he died, and indeed he rose again. Through the church, the wisdom of God is made known. We all become believers based on God's grace and should continue to live humbly. We don't need to brag about our faith. Our light will shine from within. Our light will be heard in your word. Our light will be seen in your actions. And we are encouraged to pray for God to unite all people, Christians, non-Christians, rich, poor, black, white, tan. May we all strive for peace. The grace that works within Jesus is the same grace that is within all of you. God's church is very much alive. Throughout the turmoil of life, God holds you close in love. Continue to rejoice because God's wisdom is your guide. God's compassion is your strength. God's love is your redemption. Epiphany is a call to share the light, not to keep it to ourselves. At this point, I'm going to ask Linda to share a letter that was written in the 1920s where a mom encourages this sharing of the light. Linda, ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
So the Mennonite Heritage Center publishes a quarterly bulletin, and the last one contains a group of letters from a mother who lived in Burnfield, and her name was Hannah Castle Schiffler. She was a very unusual woman among local people at that time. She was actually college educated and keenly interested in church order and politics. In other ways, her concerns were typical and representative of the times. Wear your covering, buy a warmer bonnet, avoid jesting, and the rhythms of farm life. There is a great deal of beauty in the warmth of her expression toward her children. So I'm going to read one letter that she wrote to her daughter, Sarah, who was a college student at Manchester College in Indiana. The letter goes, "Dear Sarah, our hay is made, and they expect to mow it by hand, cradle, and sight. We had a wonderful sermon. Brother Brumbell preached with power and not over 25 minutes. Uncle James followed with power too, and it was only 11:15 when we got home. The The lesson was Matthew 15, where the scribes and Pharisees blamed Jesus that his disciples ate with unwashed hands, not keeping with the tradition of the elders. Jesus answers from verses 3 to 9. Both spoke at length on honoring father and mother. Brumbaugh says there is so much modernism in the world, in the churches, and in the Brethren's Church that are man-made and not found in the Word of God. He said the church was organized as a result of much prayers, sleepless nights, and persecution, sacrificing their homes and all to seek in this new world a place of religious freedom, not knowing how they would find things. He says, let us cling to the old church. It is safe. You may be called a back number, but that's okay. I thought you said that they, the female students, wore head coverings to the table. You cling to your coverings. Go where you may and be a light to all those around. They need it. Much love, mother. Her daughter, Sarah, she went on to be a missionary in Nigeria and Africa. For most of the rest of her life, she never married, and I'm sure in that way she continued to be a light to the world.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Linda. So she ends it with encouraging her daughter to wear the prayer cap, but go on to be the light. They need it. The world needs light. The world needs God's love. David Guzik writes, we are called for something far greater than our individual salvation and sanctification. We are called to be the means by which God teaches the universe a lesson, a beautiful lesson, a lesson. An idea, the Old Testament, he envisions the nations coming into the light of God's reign through Jesus. Paul celebrates the welcoming of the Gentiles into God's community. We are all invited to follow in the way of God's heart. Come, let us walk in the light and in the way of God's heart. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, may your light shine our way as once it guided the steps of the Magi, that we too may be led into your presence and worship you, the child of Mary, the King of Nations, the Savior of mankind, in union with your Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. You are one God forever and ever. Please continue to encourage us to be a light to those around us. In your name we pray. Amen.